when we win a Super Bowl in Detroit, bro, this shit will be like the biggest thing ever. Like I'll Detroit will Detroit will literally burn.
I think Pat Kraft is doing an amazing job of preaching the culture of what Penn State athletics needs to be. And he talks about lions hunting packs. And he said he wants to win everything.
Kentucky is officially a football school.
Damn, it is.
College football tees, college basketball tees, whatever you need, Mercury has you covered with the best merch out there. We're talking about high quality clothing, inexpensive, and the best part is I have a 15% discount for everybody who goes and gets some right now. Use the code below, hit the link in the description, and go get your merch now. Use the code to get 15% off. What are you waiting on? Go do it.
We are sitting here at, I guess you could call this a state media house, recapping a hell of a day. We got some exclusive access at the football building. Got to talk to a bunch of the current players. Grant Peters was handling GP. A lot of social media. GP over here. He is also famous for his podcast with Miles Dredd on the Heat Check. If you guys haven't tuned in, you need to check it out. This guy don't give a piss about nothing but the cats, but we'll deal with that. I guess that's the same genus as a Nittany Lion, a Wildcat, same
something,
thing.
Something like that.
Yeah, we can make that work. We had Jason Kabinda today coming through. Did a fantastic job.
Appreciate it, brother.
Miles Dredd popped by. Had to handle some business. Grown man type stuff. But we appreciated it. And then Brandon Bell is always coming in here. So this episode of the podcast is going to be kind of free-flowing. We got, like I said, a great weekend. We have Utz, who has sponsored us and given us our fill of snacks. Miles can't get enough of that.
No doubt.
And then Family Clothesline today. They completely laced us out, bro. They did a hell of a job.
The Lululemon. Talk to Special them. Collection. The Nike.
Oh, yeah. Was fire.
They gave us everything we needed. We got a big golf match coming up tomorrow morning.
Talk about it.
We got a big golf match coming tomorrow morning. Me and Jason against Trace McSorley and... our guy Ben Kunkel, who is also running point wherever he's at. He might be outside doing something not really important. But, so we got that. And then we have, obviously, the event with the collective on Saturday heading into the spring game. So, ultimately, I just wanted to rap about today. I thought that shit was phenomenal.
Big day. Loaded up on the content. Had a lot of great interviews. Didn't get everybody we wanted, but, man, we got some great content. Rapped with the coaches. Some of the leaders on the squad, Jason stepped in. I felt like we had a good flow going on. What were some of the highlights from the day? Some of the players and coaches, you say?
Man, I just thought it was good to see everybody, man. Yeah, you can tell how comfortable everybody was with everybody, you know? Like, it's rare for us to have a place that we can come back 7-8 years later and still see dudes that we know. In this world of college football that we're in right now, so many moving parts, players moving left and right, coaches moving left and right. The fact that it's still coaches we know or that coached us or that we're familiar with, I think that's a blessing in general.
Facts.
I feel like that shined through in the interviews today.
That was phenomenal. And I think you hit a great point. Like, I don't think there's many places where a bunch of guys like us could just make a couple phone calls and then just have a complete run of show with whatever we needed to do with the current guys. And I think that's important. Like you said, there's so much going on in college football now. Like, being able to build a foundation on the culture that came before the current team, and a lot of these coaches are revolving doors and all that stuff, but being able to bridge the gap, right, between the past and the present, not to rip off the collective's theme of the event, but like, it is true. Like, we've done some stuff about it. And I think all of us, through our experiences and career paths in this game, find it very valuable, therapeutic. There's just a lot of cool ways that we are coming back and connecting and giving back and hopefully shedding light on, you know, what I anticipate as a big season for these guys coming up. And I thought that we got some great answers. I thought we got some great insight. Top down, like you said, B, from Coach Franklin to – you know, Nick Dawkins, the defensive guys. Like, we got great perspective.
Let's run that back. You sat down with Coach Franklin, Yeah, he teased AB that you, he gave you a better interview.
Yeah, I had a great interview. I like listening to it. Yeah, AB did call me when we were out there throwing the football around and tried to give me like this like hype talk, like it was going to be this big thing. But I appreciate it. Coach Franklin was great.
Yeah.
I thought he answered everything exactly how I expected. Like, I wanted this whole day to be about opening up and not like – the company lines. Right. Like, we've all been there. Like, yeah, you sat in their shoes and we're talking to guys. Like, you had Chris Peterson sitting there looking at you like, what are you about to say to this question? And you're like, shout out KP. But there was company lines that we all did. And it was about being able to, like, kind of peel back that layer of the onion and with the understanding that you do have to make sure, you know, what you're saying is appropriate and so on and so forth. But I thought that we were able to kind of insert ourselves and ask great questions, and there was that level of trust coming from us, because I think ultimately the whole reason we're back here is like we care deeply about this program, we care deeply about making an impact and carrying that through beyond just us playing on the field, you know what I mean? And I said it with Coach today, like, this place has a magnet, man. It just pulls you back, and being able to come back and give some insight and chop it up with these young guys, at least for me, you know, outside of all this stuff, is great.
Right.
What's going on, y'all? Christian Hackenberg with State Media in the Pocket. This segment is brought to you by Utz. Utz has a phenomenal line of potato chips and other snacks. We were fortunate enough to be able to enjoy them all weekend. They kept us fed and ready for all of these interviews that you all are about to enjoy. They've been a fantastic partner of ours, and we're looking forward to continuing to bring you guys exclusive content here at State Media.
Right. And I just to add on to that, you also had a comment. You and Trace. Trace is not with us right now, but great convos with the two young QBs right now. And I think outside of football, which we know, competition, all that, I think just them two seeing you guys cool, like you said, 6-7 years later, everyone makes up these competition, all this and that, but it's just ball. We're all in the same boat, dudes growing up, 18, 24. I think outside of football, like I said, just seeing y'all two, you know, vibe, kick it with them, I think, is big and will pay dividends, even if they don't realize it.
Bro, what's hilarious? Do y'all listen to any of Theo Vaughn's podcasts?
Mm-mm.
Bro, this dude is a trip. Dude, this dude's a trip. But actually, on my way up here, I was listening to his interview with Jameis Winston. And Jameis talked about it. And, like, it's obvious, but everyone knows about it. Like, the quarterback in football is the only position where one guy gets, if possible, 100% of the burn at all times. So it's such a unique room. And I was trying to talk, when I talked to Drew and I talked to Bo about it, like, it's, unless you're in the shoes and you're in the room and, like, with the understanding of it, like, you don't really know. And it's funny because, like, Trace and I had, like, Trace backed me up and then he came in and, I broke records, then Trace came in and broke my records, then Sean came in and broke Trace's records, like, but that's really that's how it's supposed to be, right? And it's, like, nurturing that whole development from, like, coming in, you know, understanding the hierarchy, I guess, of dominance or alpha male or whatever you want to call it, but then, yeah, totem pole, and then, but also Trace, like, I can vividly remember multiple times where, like, I cognitively, when I knew it was right for to insert Trace in situations where he can develop a rap within the locker room, like, I tried to do that. And because I knew, like I only had this for 3 or 4 years.
Right. Yeah.
So about passing that baton is, like, a big deal. And it's unique with this situation because of the transfer portal and everything going on now. But, like, you could tell that Bo genuinely loves Penn State. Like, this kid is from Harrisburg, like, wants to be here.
Yeah.
And Drew is, you know, taking on the beast of, like, trying to get this thing over the hump. So it's just cool seeing that perspective, and, like you said, like, having me and Trace there and, like, two guys who kind of been through it and, like, did our thing
literally
and, you know did whatever. But that was dope. That was probably my highlight of the day. Was just being able to, like, chop it up with Trace and the guys, and then Coach Kaltinecki, and then obviously Coach Franklin.
We got a bunch of funny comments on the state media socials today about how when Trace was, like, in the interview with Bo, they were like, wow, that is the exact same guy. Like,
bro, when he was walking up, the amount of comments I said to B-Bell, bro, about how much he acts like Trace, looks like Trace, bro. Same fucking walk, B9, like,
B9.
B9.
Bro, the one guy said something. It was like, It was like, okay, we can put all the rumors to rest. They're both in the same room. Bo is not Trace.
The Spider-Man meme and them two looking at each other.
That was what he was talking about.
The Spider-Man. Man, we should have did that. That would have been great social piece. The Spider-Man meme coin. Y'all got to do that Saturday or something.
Yeah, Trace and, we got to get the movie.
So B-Bell, what was your favorite interview of the day?
That's a big one. Not to slight anyone. I will say... Honestly, it wasn't even one that I was the interviewee. Jason and Hawk interviewing Coach Allen. Mm. And you can see, you guys see that, no teasers, but Jay got like ready to strap up in the spring. And I felt that
after that
same
interview,
thing.
I'd be like, oh yeah, I fuck with Coach Allen.
Yeah.
Like he was talking that shit like about what he's about, like his principles, effort, and like he was so meticulous about what he was talking about, but like I was really feeling his energy. I'm like, oh yeah, like I could play for this dude, like. I was ready to put a helmet on after you were done talking.
Right. Bro, and you and I talked about this when we had you on the pod. You are playing for the one guy exactly. that I would be like, bro, like, put me at Wedgebuster. I don't care. Bro, don't even put me on payroll, because I'm ready to play for Dan
Shout
Campbell.
Shout out to Dan Campbell, Detroit
Dan
Lions,
is a shit,
baby.
Bro. What up, Dan's a shit. You guys would love
what up,
Dan.
Yeah.
You guys would love
But I'm saying, that's a big... praise coming from you talking about Tom Allen.
That was the aura. Like that was the aura. And I had no idea what to expect. Right. I mean, I only knew of him about the fact that he was at Indiana. We played against him and stuff. But in terms of him, the guy, the person, I really knew nothing about him until, you know, we had talked. So
that was
a good feeling. I feel like our defense is in good hands.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Were y'all all nervous when the A&M job got like available this year that he might go there, because like he's from A&M, right?
Ain't nobody thought Dan was going. Talking about Dan, the rumors of Dan going. Nah.
Oh, Dan Campbell?
Mm. Nah, we didn't think he was going at all. I wasn't worried at all.
They were trying to throw the bank.
Bro, he has a chance to do the biggest freaking thing.
Yeah, that's why. That's
when Dan wins a when we win a Super Bowl in Detroit, bro. This shit will be like the biggest thing ever. Like
I'll
Detroit will literally, Detroit will literally burn. Like
I'll be there.
Detroit will burn to the ground. I swear. When we win the Super Bowl,
and then
Detroit
they'll build that shit back up in like 3 days.
Telling my boss now. Listen, Detroit goes to the Super Bowl. I'm calling off work.
I'm out.
And you'll probably see me on Wednesday or Thursday. Out.
Miles will need bail money.
That parade gonna last 2 days, bro. For real.
They're going to have to send the athletic department private jet up there.
They got the bat. So what would you guys say from all the interviews? What's the feel right now from spring ball at this squad right now? From what I take, Franklin, everything Franklin said, the players said, they're a little sore. They've been really going at it. Like,
yeah.
I think from the outside's perspective, there's always a lot of pressure on the Penn State squad. But I think more than ever, you know, they feel it. You know, getting over that hump, people talk about it. But I think they're approaching it the right way. At least what I like to hear, that, like, the tenacity, the energy, the everything has been turned up. That's what it seems like from what I heard. What would you guys take?
I mean, I like what Coach Smith said when he asked him about the defense.
Yeah.
So Smith didn't even hesitate. Coach Smith said, oh, yeah, we're going to be really good.
Yeah. Again.
Like, he didn't even hesitate. No hesitation.
He was like immediately out on the social channel.
Yeah. Yeah, bro.
Like, he's like, yeah, we're going to be damn good.
He was like, I can't even lie to you. Like, this is what it is. We're going to be nice. So,
And this segment's brought to you by Family Clothesline. They kept us looking sharp all weekend. I'm currently wearing one of the Lulu polos. It's a Family Clothesline exclusive. Make sure you guys check out Family Clothesline for all of your Penn State apparel needs.
I get the vibe that they're trying things, and I think even Coach Franklin is getting in positions. He's pushing the needle in ways, like you said, the physicality.
Mm.
But I think also... you know, even talking to Drop a little bit, like off camera, just the things that they're doing and the people they're putting in positions to do certain tasks and develop kids. And
it's intentional.
I think it's intentional, and I think they're pushing the limits in terms of what they've done in the past because they understand what it takes to climb that mountain now, right? Like, that was part of the discussion with Coach. Like, he's going on year 11. Like, won championships, been kicked back down, you know, had tough years in between, is getting a lot of flack for going 10-2, 10-3. Like, there's an aura around the program right now that is expecting championship level, and like, from what I gathered today, my biggest takeaway to answer that question is that I think they're pressing the lines of comfortability.
Yeah.
And that's where you find greatness.
Right. Yeah.
Is in the uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I hope they keep the pedal to the metal with
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
No, that's very true.
And for context, Drop, who he said is Jordan Lucas, former Penn State corner and safety.
When we all played with.
Yeah, we played with.
He did a little bit of everything. Yeah. Dropped two piece nice. Two time. You know, he could hoop a little bit.
Super Bowl champ, KC. GA coaching with the squad right now. And I think that's a big thing. I mean, I've been talking about it with Dion. We got Ty. Just
Torrance.
Like you said, placing people.
Torrance.
And intentional positions to help players, specific players, guys that have been through it, have been through this program, through Coach Franklin, through Billy O, through freaking Paterno.
Yeah.
I think it's very intentional. I love seeing the guys come back. And Jordan Lucas is the latest addition to that, who I think will be phenomenal. A ball of energy. Can still probably get out there and move, maybe better than some of these kids. Still looks good. But I think just seeing, having those guys around and really kind of instilling that everything we're talking about, like, you know, push the limits of comfortability because, you know, we know more than they would know at this moment, at least.
Yeah. What does the identity need to be for Penn State football to get over that dreaded 10-2 hump, in y'all opinion? What's the identity?
It's fucking fearlessness, bro. Mm.
Yeah.
For our team specifically, because it's like we go into the games that we know we should win. We do what we're supposed to do. And then it's like the question mark games. There's some level of fear in the gotta have it moments where we can't ever seem to just fucking find it.
Yeah.
So that's number one. It's like, bruh, fuck the fear, fuck the outside noise, fuck what everybody's saying. Like, let everybody prepare. You're there and put in the positions to execute because everybody believes in you and believes you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And when those moments happen in the games, that belief X factor, like that was the difference between our 2016 team to me was the belief factor.
Yeah.
I truly felt like everybody looked to the left and to the right and like, bro, like, I know you're going to get this shit done. I know you're going to get this shit done. Like, there was pure belief. And I talk about belief in sports all the time because, like, this is the highest level. Everybody's supposed to be the same. Everybody's fast. Everybody's supposed to. Everybody talented. Like, belief is such an X factor that can take a team to the next level. When a coach instills that in the players and the players go out there and show that shit, that's what can make you win a championship.
Can manifest that. Like,
yes.
Confidence is a skill.
Confidence. Yeah. That's a skill. I like that.
It's definitely a skill.
Confidence and attitude reflects leadership. And I think Coach Franklin has always had a model, right? And he's had so much turnover, especially at the coordinator positions, where like consistency in those rooms hasn't been there. And just talking to Coach Kaltenicki today, at least offensively, and I think like the defense, I've never worried about the defense.
Right.
Like even when we were here, like I knew that standard had kind of been ingrained in the DNA of this program for
a long decades. Time.
So like that's fortunately been able to kind of ride that wave through the case. And I think offensively, that's the question mark. Like, is this offense going to be able to be explosive this year? Is this offense going to be able to be fearless? Are they going to step into the ring with games that are, you know, going to Vegas lines, you know, money line or like, you know, 1-2 point spreads, like tight games.
Yeah, there'll be more of those games this year.
There's going to be a lot more. They got a hell of a 5-game stretch in the middle of the year. I forget exactly what it is, but middle end of the year, I mean, a 5-game stretch from hell with now Washington and SC and all those schools coming into it. Like, for me, it's just about whenever you step on the field, there is never like a, we have to play a certain way to win this game. It's, we are going to dictate terms.
Yeah.
And like Bo and Drew said that type of stuff today too when they were talking about it. And I'm teasing y'all a little bit because it's going to be good stuff coming out. But they talked about like, we want to be an aggressive offense. We want to be an attacking offense. We want to dictate terms rather than letting the defense dictate what we are going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that is offense. You need to be on the offensive. And I think that's the switch that needs to flip, and something that 2016 team had. And I think, like I said, attitude and character reflects leadership. I've been a big fan of Joe Moorhead, and I think Joe did a great job of doing that.
100%.
And I think that when you guys on the defensive side of the ball see that from the offense, it only breeds more confidence in you guys.
Yeah.
And that's the shit, honestly, that like the average fan, like people don't appreciate is like
complimentary football.
The complimentary football, like how much just momentum. Like I've like that's we were talking about it just before this. You were talking about Dan.
Yeah, yeah.
Dan plays a certain way.
Yes.
He throws his dick on the table every game.
Every time.
Rolls, shoves all in. And just all in everything he does. Lives and dies by that, right? Yeah. And like, honestly, if I'm a player, I would rather play for a guy that I know is going to shove all in on his guys 10 times out of 10 than be tentative in certain ways to try to protect inefficiencies.
Yeah.
I'd rather put you in a situation where you sink or swim and we'll deal with the repercussions. Right. And I think that's where the program is at this point in time. Is like, are they going to make that decision to dive into the deep end and then deal with whatever comes next?
Yeah.
And it's funny because it's almost that approach with Coach Rangel. Like Coach Rangel talks about one day at a time, one game at a time, one this at a time.
Mm-hmm.
It's one decision. It's one thing at a time. Mm-hmm. But you have to make that first decision be one of complete fearlessness into the deep end and 100%. Just roll.
100%.
So I do get a vibe, though, from the guys.
It's at that point. His time is now,
like,
baby.
People are like, like it's time, dude, to show.
We were doing those NIL like interviews, like, you know, after you all finished up every time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we just were like, you know, it's a retain the reward campaign that they're going to launch on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And most people were like, you know, just kind of like freeze on camera. I'll tell you, the most loose and the best response we got was from Colton Nicky.
Yeah.
He was the most natural on camera. He was out there. He was confident. And, like, you know, if that's his, like, natural personality, right. I think that's going to go a long way.
Right. Yeah. I got a hell of a vibe from that dude.
Yeah.
Like, A, I think you could go and drink a case of beer with him. Like, and have a great
He's got a nice beard.
Yeah, he's got a great beard.
It goes a long way.
But, like, B, like, yeah, I got a great vibe from that man. So, I'm excited about that.
Also, when you're talking about, like, expectations next year, like, you got to think about, like, it's a 12-team playoff next year, right?
Yeah.
Very true.
It's going to be a 12-team, so it's like...
And we'll be in better position.
Even if you don't win your conference, you just got to finish in the top seven of those next five teams that didn't make it.
AGP, we're not thinking easier. Like that, man.
But this is a big deal. All you got to do is get in there, and then once you get in there, fuck...
But like we were saying...
The conference is a big deal, though, because the structure of our conference has always been Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State. We're all in one place on the Big Ten East.
Well, let's keep
that's
it being
all done.
Well, let's keep it a being
that'll make it easier.
With the exception of the last 2 years, it's been Ohio State and everyone else.
True. Yeah.
It has been.
Yeah,
because we've been getting Michigan. Michigan got us the last couple of years, but
But those are the only games that are close between the three of us.
That's what I'm saying.
Michigan State fell off.
Indiana, Wisconsin, then Iowa, then I cakewalk into the Big Ten Championship.
You think about like a rematch on that stage? You don't think
that's what I'm saying? They cakewalked to the Big Ten Championship.
But like we were saying earlier, there's other schools, SEC, that are waiting for the same opportunity. Ole Miss.
They are.
Texas has kind of been up there the last 2 years.
Let's think about it.
It's still going to be competitive.
What did Penn State, like, all right, these past 2 years, if there would have been a 12-team playoff, they would have been in it.
Right.
Past 2 years, we would have been in it.
That's true.
They would have been in it.
A few times. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
They'd have been in it. So it's like, and we just given been in that opportunity.
We should have been in it.
But I think that ultimately, like, just getting there, right, that's just another – like shiny thing, and then if you just lose in the first round, like
that's what I'm saying.
Like I think that everything we just talked about in terms of like dictating terms and aggressiveness and like going into it and ultimate fearlessness and belief kind of plays into that. Now you do have an opportunity to understand that we could trip and fall, but still stay focused and then get back into it and play our way back into it. But still, you need a mature team that's player led in a certain way to be able to understand and comprehend that. And it's a very fine line as a head coach, like if that's a headlining conversation that you even bring up.
Right.
Right? Like it's like you have to have a very mature team to bring up like, hey guys, like we're going to go out there and roll them.
Yeah.
If something doesn't go our way, like worst case scenario, like you never hear a coach with an immature team talk about worst case scenario. It's always like, we have to do this, and there's no other option. Because if you give that freeway, man, that shit can get off the rails fast.
The ships.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, we used to have that on the t-shirts.
Fitz, he did. Burn the ships.
We used to have that on the shirts.
Oh.
What's y'all take a lash, man? I know some of us have been in there, but beautiful.
Yeah.
We talk about competing, everything you do. And Coach Franklin teased this. I don't want to give too many answers, he said in your interview, but if you want to be serious in this game of college, sports in general, but you're talking about football, you have to compete in everything. Can't say you don't care about facilities. Can't say you don't care about academics, so forth and so forth. So I feel like they're going to be forever adding on to Lash.
Mm-hmm.
And guys, when they're guys that we saw in there today, 8 years, they're coming back. They're like, damn. Y'all got it good.
Yeah. Y'all doing that's really how I feel today. No bullshit.
Yeah.
They got
that,
it good.
That stuff is getting...
It's a great time to be a Penn State football player.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
I'll tell you what, straight up.
Man, it's a great time to be a college athlete, bro.
Yeah.
In general.
Regardless of the sport, man. Because I feel the same way. I see Lash and I work right next door.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing over at the BJC, too.
Yep.
Like, I'm walking around. I'm like, wow. This looks different.
What's your take? What's your feel of the town of State College? You've been here. We were talking about it. Since you enrolled onto your fifth year now, but you've been around really all of the programs as your job. What's the feel of the town regarding all sports? We know football, you know, runs the show here, but what's the feel right now?
I think Pat Kraft is doing an amazing job of preaching the culture of what Penn State athletics needs to be. And he talks about lions hunting packs. And he said he wants to win everything. Like, he's like, I don't care. I want to win a national championship. We have 31 sports teams. I want to win 31 national championships. And he attacks every day, facilities to events to everything that surrounds Penn State athletics the same way. He wants to be competitive. He wants to win everything. And that's somebody that, working for him now, I'm like, dude, I'll run through a wall for this dude. Right. Like, you talk about Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
He sometimes Pat Kraft gets out of those speeches. I'll be like, goddamn right. Let's go win. Let's go win.
I will say this. Before we get to the next topic, we're going to take a minute to talk about Factor Meals. Now, I know that there's a ton of food delivery service options out there. I'm going to stand on the table here and say this. Factor Meals does it different. Pre-prepared, chef-crafted, dietitian-approved. We've gotten the chance to test them here at The Pocket. I just got mine this past week. Phenomenal meals, super easy. Throw them in the oven. Like I said, they're pre-prepared. Pop them out, throw them on a plate. I'm a new father, got a wife. I'm unfortunately the one that does the majority of the cooking in the house. So whenever I need a break, this is a great option for me. Meals, 2 minutes or less. They got snacks. They got smoothies. They got little juice drinks. It's super flexible. It fits into my schedule when need be. No mess. I also do the dishes. So therefore, minimal dishes when it comes to preparation with Factor Meals. Really, really, really highly recommend them for your day-to-day operation. So, if you like what I'm talking about, if you're picking up what I'm putting down, please head over to factormeals.com/pocket50 and use code pocket50 to get 50% off. That's code pocket50 at factormeals.com/pocket50 to get 50% off. I know that's a lot of pocket 50s, but you guys get the gist. 50% off to cut into about 75% of your meal prep time. Phenomenal, and I highly recommend it.
No disrespect to anybody prior to this, but with all the bullshit this place has been through in the last decade, like, when I got to talk to Pat, that breath of fresh air was crazy. Like, I think it was a home run hire, and I'm really excited about what he's going to bring. Like you said, not only to just the football program or the basketball program or the wrestling program, like, he's going to bring, he's bringing it to everybody. And,
no doubt.
I think it was much needed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rare thing to have that type of synergy, like, you know, from the top down,
like the real top.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. And it's like it's a trickle down effect. Like, you start to see it a little bit in the coaches too. It's not like a pressure to win, but it's like similar to how coaches instilling confidence in the players. Right. It's the same thing instilling in the coaches. Is like, man, we ready to roll.
Yeah.
And he's not the AD either that sits up in the box and just kind of talks to people. And you see Pat Kraft on the sideline like this at football games, like this. Okay. Yep. Basketball games. He's standing up, clapping, dapping
C-A-B!
People up.
C-A-B! See you later, buddy! Have a great night! Adam Gretter was here listening to the pod in person, and now he's got to go
prepare to call the game.
Sorry, we needed to drop that.
That's calling the spring game. Shoot, we didn't even tease the spring game. We got the spring game coming up.
2 days? Yeah, we do. He's still prepared.
We didn't even tease, you know, spring game coming up here. You know, it's always a big deal, State College. I'm not exactly sure what the weather will be like. Hopefully it's not like this. A little crappy, but I think it's an exciting time for Penn State. People to kind of get a feel for this new offense and new defense, really. Get their eyes on some of these players. We're about 130 deep, you know.
Yeah.
Deep as the roster, full as the roster has kind of been in some years. Which people don't really care to hear that, but that's a big deal.
Is that what y'all, 130?
130 is crazy.
What? Somewhere around there, maybe 120. But
how many scholarships you got?
I mean, the scholarships are the same, but like... Yeah.
They're well equipped
to like.
What the?
That's what I'm saying. They're going hard. Like that's the consensus. They're going
that's
hard.
That's the point of they kept harping on depth.
They have bodies.
GP's paying attention to football now because Kentucky is officially a football school.
Damn, it is.
I'm weak.
Don't get
them started,
man.
They wasted all that money up today trying to get Dan Hurley. He said,
they bet the entire Kentucky economy and still.
This is the
kickboard. Scott Drew said, I'm good. I'm staying awake.
The football school was determined in the 2019 Citrus Bowl.
You gotta give him shit.
And our boy, the MVP from the game, Josh Allen, Kentucky DN, just signed yesterday for $150 million in extension. We got to give him props.
He did. Just get broke up. Congratulations.
Well deserved. I like him. He's a baller.
We'll give you snaps.
He's a baller. Yeah, back to the spring game.
Back to the spring game. Give him some nucks. All right, here we go.
Real spill. Like we said, it was great to be back. I mean, we've been reminiscing all day with everyone we see, the training staff, weight room staff, the cafe, everything. It's reminiscing. Kind of brings me to, you know, what's, and we always kind of tease it, but let's give us some of the best moments off the field. I know, Hack, we talk about a lot, kind of the departments, but Jason, we got you here right now.
Yeah.
What's some of your...
Man,
you can keep it PG. You can go.
Y'all know what I was on, man, when I was here.
Yeah.
What I loved about while I was here is like, although like y'all know me, I work hard. Boom, I work hard and I party hard.
Yeah, yeah.
But I party hard, but I also keep myself real clean.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I came out of Penn State, no scratches, no nothing. You
yeah.
know? Whether we was in the frats, we was in the P-Mans, or we
came
was
in the den. You came in with a little den.
Yeah, I came out with a little dirt. Cool. You know what I'm saying? I came in with a scratch, man. Coach Franklin took care of me, though.
Yeah.
Nah, but. I remember my pregames at what was my nanny apartment?
Dang.
4102.
Everybody thinks their nanny apartment had the best pregame.
First off, Jay.
You showed me the way.
Yeah,
you showed me the way.
Tell me that 1032.
You showed me the way.
I
was in senior high school, bro. Hack came out that crazy ass freshman year, bro. You know what I'm saying? I'm with Hack. I'm the recruit coming in senior high school. We go to his apartment. I'm like, oh shit, this is what college gonna be like? And you know, like obviously Hack, you know, star quarterback, woo woo. The way girls are throwing themselves on Hack, I'm like.
But no, you can't just say woody woody woo. Because these guys just met Hack. From what I know, you guys didn't know Hack. 5-star, top rated quarterback.
Hack was that guy, bro. No. I don't understand.
It was like.
Hack was 18 years old on Elite 11 on ESPN.
Nah, that shit was really crazy.
Bro, ESPN. Like,
you gotta give him his flowers.
After his freshman year, bro, number one overall draft pick incoming, bro. Like, it was really, it was really crazy, bro.
It was like
time, Hack
time
was the second
crazy.
Coming to God to, the, like, to Penn State, bro. Like, what do you think about it?
It's stupid, bro. It was like security, bro. It was real, like just going out, regular freshman. Not really security, but you just see people like being weird, doing weird shit.
Yeah.
So you just stick up for your boy, like, yo, like.
Yo, B, I was an aggressive guy. We can't get into this, but B was a real one a couple times.
Exactly. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
But leave it at that. Just to paint the picture for the state media squad.
But I will say this. I genuinely hated that. Like, dead ass. I hated it.
You see how red you are now, bro.
Like, just everything. Like, I hated that.
The attention.
And, like, the reason the things that I enjoyed was like getting you guys into that type of environment, enjoying it. But like really building the bond between us, right? Like bridging that gap, like still to this day, why we're tight, why we can rap about some of those dumb things.
No bullshit.
Like when 3205 had the whole parking lot getting dug up out and we had lines going out the back and the front to get in there. Little Mark Allen was Mark.
With the shirt off on top of the table.
Was two-stepping on the coffee table, breaking the glass and shit.
Elevated platform.
Yeah. Like that is what I live for. Like when I was here, like I loved the team. I love my teammates having a great time, and I love being the facilitator of that in any way, shape, or form.
No, it was fine.
Actually, just talking about it
a little bit. So, like,
yeah,
I committed to Penn State. I graduated high school in 2018. I committed to Penn State in 2016, and for basketball, that's like unheard of. Like, I committed as a sophomore. Mm-hmm. I used to come up to Penn State every weekend, bro. Yeah. Listen to me. I had my license. I said, yo, pops, I'm on the road.
This man was making dolo trips to the 16-year-old. It's crazy.
That's like Lil Mark was up
Lil
there.
Lil Mark actually was up there young.
For a minute.
He got recruited since like his sophomore year, too.
And I would just tell one of my teammates, Josh Reeves, still my big brother to this day.
Baller.
Yo, I'm on the way. He's like, best man.
Josh Reeves, man.
And that helped me ingrain myself into the Penn State community because when I got here, I was recruiting dudes that got here before me. Like, I recruited Jamari Wheeler and John Harrell, who graduated in 2017. Mm. They're like, how you know so much about the school already? I'm like, bro,
it's my third year.
I've been doing this shit.
Do this. There's like 10 people on the planet. There's 10 people on the planet who will get that.
So, you know, like you said, you're in the apartment. I'll never forget my name in the apartment. Yo. 4201, man.
And I forget my number.
And we had a ball. Oh, we had a ball, man. Just I think that's the one thing I miss most about being a Penn State.
Was that the move when you were at Gonzaga to go to Penn State?
For me?
For you, for like just the team in general.
No, I came up here because I was coming.
You were coming,
and they were gonna know I was coming.
And so they came with you.
Nobody came with me. It was just me.
So really?
I was on a roll, and it was just me until like June or like May of 2018 when other guys committed. But it was me, and we were going.
That's actually hilarious.
I was recruiting dudes. I was. Hey, you want to come? No? Cool. You want to come? No? Cool.
Yeah.
Back until we got three dudes.
So that's what I was going to ask. Where was the move? Like, if you went to Gonzaga in D.C.?
I mean, we were a walk's distance from Howard University.
I was about to say, D.C. is lit. Howard was probably lit. Always.
Yeah.
I don't know about Young Bucks,
Howard homecoming. Hampton homecoming.
Listen.
I know D.C., I'm sure.
I heard Hampton's homecoming. It's crazy.
Howard homecoming is one of the most outrageous things. Like, you'd be walking just down the street, and you just see Taraji P. Henson just walk right by you. Like,
Taraji. Like, superstar.
Okay, Terrence Howard.
Okay. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Whole Empire crew on that drink.
Like, for real. Like, it was like, it's really crazy, bro. And just to see so many prominent figures and just be in D.C., Chocolate City, it's just Howard homecoming.
We had a bunch of DMs.
Especially as an 17, 18-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Like, we weren't even going out, drinking, nothing. Like,
the shit was like Project X to y'all.
Yeah, like, we just...
No, them frat parties freshman year was like Project X.
For real.
And Howard
Ball.
But no, clean it up a little bit. You know, we was down on the turf doing the interviews. We were talking about just some crazy workouts we've had. Give me your guys' opinion. You can tap in on this too in a basketball. Top two or whatever worst workout we have here.
Oh, I know mine. I literally know my exact two.
What is it?
Off rip. I remember one time, obviously you remember we used to run the hills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had one crazy hill day. My junior year, bro. Where I literally think we ran 42 reps of the hills.
Just the baseball hill? The big one?
The lax hills.
The lax hill is not there anymore.
There's a difference.
It was a long one that had the pine trees at the end at the top of it.
That was baseball.
Okay, that baseball.
Yeah, the big one.
Yeah, the baseball
one. And we started with like, you know, we started with the, because you remember when we did our hill workouts, you start with like warm up shits. Right, and those reps like low key count.
Yeah, they hit.
You know what I'm saying? They hit. Yeah, like for a good 10, 12 reps. Then you do shit like, okay, you're on your stomach, a little 10 yard burst. But it was all races. Because remember, we was always competing all the time.
Right. Yeah.
Because they made it, you know, Futrell, Coach D, like, as soon as you went through the line, whoever was first, Kabinda! Right, like, I'm hearing my name called. You remember how you, bro, you remember how used to be on that shit?
My biggest accomplishment, Penn State. F all the games, I beat some of the running backs, including Saquon, like one rep. That's what I got. They won't admit it, but yeah. I used to hop up there every now and then when I was feeling it, get one rep out, and that'd be it. I'd go back, back to the linebacker.
And then people would go back in the crease.
My knees, bro.
We legitimately had like 42 reps of the hill.
I think I remember that day.
With the last no cap, like 15 of them being all the way to the top.
Right.
Yeah.
Whether it's we shuffle for the first 15 yard and then turn around, turn around, shuffle up, like 15, well, the last 15 were all to the top.
I'm being the back pedal up the hills.
The back pedal's worse.
Yeah. All the way to the top too. The quad burners is crazy.
For people who don't know how long the baseball hill is, like,
It's gotta be a good 60.
It's one of those hills where you running up the hill. And most people, when you run up the hill, you gotta close your eyes and just put your head down. You think you almost there, you look up, you halfway there, you're like, yo.
Yes.
I don't know if this was the same day. Remember, you know, training camp, we usually get like a fun day, go to the movies, paintball or some shit.
Yeah.
Or the water slide. We jogged all the way to those hills, and there was the tease like, oh, today's our day.
That was a Friday morning. I will never forget this. That was a Friday morning summer workouts. Friday morning summer workouts were hell. Friday morning summer workout, and it was the last one.
The early day.
It was the last one, and that was our sophomore year. So that was our freshman year. We did the slip and slide.
Right.
With Fitzy.
We expected it.
And Greg Miskinis was on the staff.
Big
and then our sophomore year, Greg Miskinis had gone to be the women's soccer and a few other programs' head strength and conditioning coach. And we were running to the hill, and Greg Miskinis was standing there
with the
water in the slip and slide. And we turned on the jets because it's a light jog. We turned on the jets to get to the hill. And I will never forget the delight that little Deej had going, nah, keep it pushing, keep going, we're going to the big hill. And we kept running past it. Destroyed us, dude.
Bro, it's like being freaking dehydrated and seeing a tall glass of water in the desert. And they're like, nah, that's not for you.
Someone slapped that shit back.
Speaking of Greg Miskinis.
Oh, man.
He was my head.
Shout out to Big Greg.
Yes.
He, on Friday mornings in the summertime, would murder. Like, we did a full body lift to start off. Bench, squat, deadlift, pull up for weight. Like,
I don't want to cut you off, but I heard basketball workouts is a little,
I guarantee you.
Basketball lifts are a little.
I've seen y'all lift, bro. Like, yeah.
Like, y'all think y'all lift, like, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
And it's a couple, it might be one or, it might be like one or two, it might be like one or two husky basketball players on the team that actually, like, you know, lift, but like the rest is just like,
I was
one of
them. What do you mean?
All right, go ahead.
But, so that's how we started. Then we would go outside, he's like, all right, we'll pick either lacrosse field, track, sand pit, something, hill.
I forgot about them sand
too. Track bars lined up on the starting line of the track.
Farmer carries
for 800 yards. I mean, 800
two laps.
Meters, two laps around the track. Then you had to run.
How much weight was on there?
135.
Mm-hmm. 800 is good. I'm speed walking that joint crazy.
Look,
strong hip swivel. Strong hip
swivel. Is you and a partner. Coach gave me the weakest person on the team.
Who was the weakest person? You got to name him, bro.
No,
no. It's basketball. We know they don't like, y'all don't be doing that type, you know? So, like, it's not really like embarrassing.
Yeah, it's okay.
He who shall not be named.
He knows who he is.
I said, dog, I promise you, I'll carry the ref. Just give me 25 more yards. 25 more meters, bro. Picks it up, takes two steps, drops it. I'm like, yo.
It's that grip work.
That's like motherfuckers on the sleds when they get to dying.
You had to carry it around the track, 800 meters, run that mile.
A mile?
In 17 minutes.
That's tough. That's tough.
If they couldn't finish that, like he didn't finish. Like,
do it again.
The old do it again.
Anything that's do it again. Like,
yeah, nah.
I'm gonna die in before I do this shit.
I tell you, I said, come on.
Yo, listen, let's be honest. The old do it again brings out the 3-year-old in every single one of you. If you're a grown man.
Tantrum.
You were talking about Imani.
Bro, Imani, we love you. We had you on here. We're having you back. But that's a cool. I mean, look, I can talk. I passed out on that conditioning test, too. So we're in the same boat. But that first time, I think you didn't make it. I don't know what year it was. It's a core memory.
He like barely didn't graze the line with his hand.
Yeah. But no.
He got one of those late jumps. You know what a motherfucker gets the late jump and he gets the scoot on the first 15 and back?
Yeah. That's what made me bring it up. Whoever you were texting, you sent him a picture of the turf. And shout out to Big Deej. We'll go, 3 seconds.
Go.
Whistle immediately.
But nah, he brought up the track. I think that's my worst workout. And this was the moment I realized.
No, the track was.
Those
track
two, was that real. 200 day?
Yeah, nah, the track was real.
I remember we were cool with a lot of track girls. Shout out to them. Hit them like, yo, track is different. Like, same way I'm messing with you, like, oh, basketball is different. Joking, I know it's a grind no matter what. But we did a day. I think we only did 8 200s. They were timed, and that was the worst workout for me.
Yeah, it was.
But
yeah,
you remember the. Sorry for forgetting your name. The Canadian quarterback was like a freshman.
Michael O'Connor.
O'Connor. He was like the Terminator.
Like, yeah, he did some crush workouts.
Just ripping it.
That year, winter workouts, when we ate packs at 8 minutes, bro. You remember how big I was my sophomore year? I was 250. Before this workout, bro, I was 252. We on a turf, 4:50 a.m., 2 laps to start that bitch. Monkey's already in your back before you even get to stretching and doing the little position drill before you get to the stations. Bro, by the end of that workout, I was 239. I lost, bro. And mind you, the workout starts at 5. We're done 6:30. Yeah, we're out the field, showering up. I can get to class 7.
Nah, you took a mean nap before that.
Within 2 hours, I lost 13 pounds. That's fucking nuts.
Bro, yeah, it's literally nuts. On my life, they held that clock. There's no way 5-7 minutes. They held it for an extra 30
minutes. That workout was so
seconds.
Crazy, bro.
Those winter workouts were bugging. I talked to you guys about my welcome to college football moment, and still to this day was my worst workout at Penn State was when I got up here. I got up here a little bit earlier than the rest of my class, and my first lift and run was with the 12 o'clock in the afternoon group, which was all the old guys.
Oh, I used to hate that.
So it was Glenn Carson, Ty Howe, John Urschel. Like, it was all the old heads. Mm-hmm.
John Urschel.
When I tell you, because I came in, I didn't early enroll. I came fresh out of baseball season, was out of shape. I was 215, couldn't even bench press 200 pounds. And Fitzy abused me, dude, for like 2 weeks, bro. And that was when we were running the 300 shuttles at the end. And then I didn't make my time, and it was the old do it again.
I missed 300s, too.
And then I'm going... And Fitz had the clock that was on the electric start time, so you really couldn't even cheat it. There was no 3-2-1 click, and then you were waiting for the. You were like, yo, Los, give me a break here. Like, there was none of that. The shit was out there for everybody to see, so you know you missed it.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, when I had to lay out for the one that I made up to make that time, and I still didn't make it, but they kind of were like, yo, this kid just died. Like, he literally went full flying squirrel to go across the line to finish this. And then got cussed out by the trainer because he didn't want to get hurt. And then had to
start quarterback, man. Come on.
That was the bad one, bro. That was the worst one, dude.
Everybody has that strength coach where it's like, bro, like, their workouts are so OD that before the workout, like, your stomach, like,
that's
you
the
realize how butterflies, like, dead ass, like, for real, like, them winter workout nights, bro.
Yeah.
Our freshman year, we used to sleep at the facility.
Yeah, and then you and I talked about it. When I was in 3101, before we went to 3205, me, Sickles, Andrew Nelson, who just got hired.
Nelly, shout out to Nelly.
Big job. And Brendan Mann, we're all living in the same joint. We literally had pieces of paper numbered 1 through 15 for all the winter workouts. And after we would get back from one of them, we would walk outside of our apartment and light it on fire. I'm not exaggerating. We would literally light it on fire and be like, that's it. Like, nah, dude, the anxiety level was so high.
They really made men out of us.
I was about to say, it's really just about building character. I mean, you do some drills that maybe, you know, translate, but it's just about character. Are you going to wake up, bust your ass, go finish the day, and be back tomorrow to do whatever you got, or back in 2 days to do
take
it again?
Take the meanest nap of your life, too.
Because there was no hiding.
There wasn't.
Like, it was literally meant to make a man out of you. We knew the dudes on the team who weren't men. Because the thing is, no matter what, like, you're going to have to work your hardest. If you didn't work your hardest, when we had them little one-on-one drills at the end, them tire pulls, coach was going to get your ass. They were going to put your ass in there, and they were going to break you because they already knew you're not a man. Like, this is what you got to do.
Whoever they saw struggling through the workout.
Oh, my goodness. But motherfuckers used to go through the – we just had his tie pull. You had to pull him out of the circle. Whoever's feet, you know, got pulled out of the circle, that's who won. Bro, you had dudes go like 3-4 times in a row. Mind you, like one rep of that shit, your legs are dead. Man. You're fighting for your life, lowest.
And this is already like, after the stations and the two labs.
After everything, you'd have motherfuckers get put in there 3 times in a row. Not against the same dude. Yeah. Boom, he
fresh
went
body. Fresh body.
Now you go. Like, fresh body. Nah, like that. The mental depth, bro, it took for some of them shits.
I mean, it definitely it phased a lot of people out. Our first year of winter workouts, because you know, we came in with maybe, 40 walk-ons through the sanctions and everything. We probably lost about half of them.
Yeah, we lost
some scholarship players.
That's why we was quitting.
As they were just walking out.
For real.
Yeah, we lost some soldiers.
The soldiers that stuck it through, they got paid off.
Man.
Our drill like that, we call it a Cancun. We wrapped 2 harnesses around 2 people. He put a flag in the middle of the chain. And said, "Find a way to go that
sprint,
way."
Sprinting, like running.
Ball. Oh. And you put a cone 5 yards or 10 yards away, 5 yards away from each person, and you had to go. And it was about if you were tough, if you were strong, if you were heavy. Yeah. Like usually, the heaviest dude was one.
Mm-hmm.
But every once in a while, we did it in a sand pit one time. And
the sand pit would be hard.
He like this, just grabbing sand, just not getting no traction. He's like,
yeah, there would be no traction.
Remember we did that once? And poor Bubba, like, hyperextended his knee. And everybody was like, they were like, "Everybody, 10 yards, we're going again." It was like, yo. Yeah.
But that's the thing about football, like, that can be demoralizing sometimes, bro. Because that's really how it be. A dude can have a serious injury, like, in your head, you're like, damn, like, I hope he's traded or not. But, like, we're so trained to next play, like, that shit can't really be dehumanizing. I don't love that aspect of it. We had I forget who got terribly hurt one time, and Coach Franklin ended the practice. Y'all remember that? Somebody got like really terribly hurt, and it might have been like the second injury of the day type shit. Probably. That was like bad. Yeah. And, like, we just stopped it, but like most times that's how it is. Like, all right, move the drill 10 yards. Like everybody be looking back, or just walking over to the huddle. I'm like, damn. Yeah. It's like, all right, light back in. That shit's crazy.
It's the game we play, man. It's the game we play, game we love.
We're very militarized, I feel like.
I mean,
in our sport in general.
We always compare it to war mentality, even though we know it's not that serious. But, I mean, it's the game we play, like you said. It's the game we love, the game we grew up on.
Yeah.
Brought us here to this moment, you know.
That's why we all are sitting in this room together. I'll say this. Hell of a day, boys.
Yes.
Absolutely love this episode. This is going to be good. I think people are going to enjoy this. This is gold. Can we, you guys don't have any drinks. You got water.
I can get one.
I need 1 second, so I'm going to toss a bag to all of you. Got to open it and eat a bite of this shit.
While we do it, can we talk about the state of football right now? Not talking college football, not talking NFL, literally just football.
The state of football right now.
Yeah, like how soft it's becoming.
How soft this is becoming.
Like, how we're on the way, like, to flag football. Like, for real.
It's not football players' fault.
Like, we're for real on the way to flag football.
It's not football players' fault. That's the thing.
SD cards are
5 minutes is all we need.
All right, ready?
Are we just busting it open?
Bust it.
Bust it. Down.
Oh, you gave me the sour cream and onion?
Shout out to us, man.
Basic?
Yeah.
Appreciate you. Listen, Plain Jane gonna do it all the way.
What do you think, Christian?
Yes, sir.
Dude, I mean, sour cream and onion can't go wrong. Staple.
Dog shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, this guy's unbelievable. This guy's unbelievable.
We so close. You guys are
unbelievable. This guy's unbelievable.
I didn't say it.
Was your rig,
all right, polish the pot off, you five.
All right, take well. Listen.
Next five.
Yeah, let's get it. Let's get an extra. Let's get it.
Yeah, right. These are fun.
I do like that. I agree with you.
I'm just saying.
To put a bow on this, great day, great weekend. Very happy we're back here rapping. I hope that you listeners appreciate these conversations because I do. And at the end of the day, we're still going to have them. We have them whether we're on camera or not. We had them all day today. But great stuff, boys. Got a hell of a weekend still coming up. Jason and I are about to bust Ben and Trace's ass tomorrow morning on the
course.
First
thing in the AM, man.
8:50 tee time. Make sure you guys, there's going to be content surrounding it because naturally we are a content company, so it will be coming.
You got to get a pull up. What you guys got before you see the results?
Yeah. Yeah, we do got to get that out. Yeah, we're going to get it out.
Yeah, we should.
We're going to get it out. No. He is, but I think he also truly believes that.
I'm not. Right there. That's true.
And then, like a chip cheers or something.
Salute.
To our guy, GP over here, hoping Kentucky finds the answer because Dan Hurley said it wasn't there. Rather than for the pocket.
State Media.
State Media, you know what it is. Follow us, the whole nine. We'll see you guys next week.
Yeah.